Friends, Chris Sauter, lead pastor at Neighborhood Church. We work hard at creating content every week that is life-giving and inspiring for people to live a full life. So we're inviting people who find this stream to be life-giving and encouraging to consider becoming a sustaining member at Neighborhood Church. That could be a one-time gift or to subscribe monthly. And you can do that at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Thank you, friends, and enjoy the message.
All right. So it is my honor to introduce you. I'm going to introduce Katrina Kat Wachowski. I'm going to read it so I don't get this wrong. I wanted to make it super personal and just look Kat in the eyes the whole time. But Nikki, you can throw her screen out there. So Kat, you are live. So here is Kat is a proud member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, with ties to the Leech Lake and Fond du Lac Flambeau Ojibwe tribes, as well as the state of Jalisco, Mexico. She currently serves as the Director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion and Senior Diversity Officer at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. I love that title. I love that. Before moving to this position in February of 2018, she served as the Director of Indigenous Culture Center at Northland College. She earned her BS in Environmental Studies, her BA in Native American Studies from Northland College, and her MS in Environmental Studies, Written Communications, from Green Mountain College in Pulteney? I'm a Pulteney guy, Vermont. She is currently a doctoral student at University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. I didn't know that either. That is, yeah, Sarah just said, so she's brilliant. Yes, she is clearly brilliant. So Kat, thank you so much for speaking to us today. And so it's yours.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. This is great. This has been fun to kind of sit in and watch this and hear what you have to say and kind of be in community, even though we're socially distancing and those types of things. So yeah, thanks everybody for joining. And I'm going to share my screen here so you don't have to stare. Oh, Chris, it says that host has disabled participant screen sharing. So you're going to have to work some magic on your end. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself while Chris is kind of doing his magic on the other end there. So my name is Kat, and go ahead. All right, Chris, do you need to, you're muted.
All right, we're so technologically sound. I'm supposed to do something I just heard.
Yeah, that says that you disabled screen sharing as the host.
I didn't trust you. That's why. No, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that right now.
All right. Thanks. Okay. So my name is Kat, and I, as Chris said, I'm an enrolled member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, which is right up the road, a little further from Cloquet, I guess, than it is from Superior, but it's right on the northern tip of Wisconsin and on the south shores of Lake Superior, and kind of, you know, I guess I kind of, depending on who I'm talking to, I say I'm from Bayfield, because everybody knows the tourist destination of Bayfield, but I really am an enrolled member of the Red Cliff Band of Ojibwe. And so I also have ties to, my dad has ties to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, as well as Lac du Flambeau Ojibwe. And I have maternal ties to the state of Jalisco, Mexico. And so what that means is that I have indigenous roots kind of around the world, as well as in this local area to kind of acknowledge. And so I'll start out a little bit now that we've got the screen up and you can see this picture. Ujuanin and Indoe Magnaduk, Kat Jaganashwin, Indigenikas, Miskwagokong and Dunjaba, Megazi and Dodame, Minogishigandugom. So I said in the Ojibwe language that my name is Cat in the Ojibwe, or in the English language, and that I am Eagle Clan. And so I was taught by my mentor in college, he was a Bad River elder from that tribal community, to say my introduction and say it when I greeted a group of people. And I said that I started out with hello or greetings, kind of at a spiritual level of acknowledging our spirits to each other. And I said, hello, all my relatives. And so in the Ojibwe country, in Ojibwe lands, we believe that we're all related. And so we always welcome each other with hello, all of my relations. And I'll talk a little bit about that too with some teachings that I have. But and then I talked about the that I'm from the Eagle Clan. And so we still use clan systems in the Ojibwe Nation. And what that is to identify other clan members. And so it's an extension of our family. It's an extension of ourselves. And we have a lot of community teachings or spiritual or cultural teachings as far as what our roles are as leaders or teachers or messengers or those types of things. And so it's to acknowledge each other at a different level, a deeper level, a clan level. And then I said that today is a good day. And I was taught by my mentor to always acknowledge that every day that you wake up, and take that first breath of consciousness is a day to celebrate, even though you may be sick or hurting or lamenting, as Chris talked about earlier, or, you know, you could be very stressed or worried or whatever it may be, that you were still able to have the blessing of taking that first breath. And not all of our relatives were able to do that. Our community suffered a loss this weekend, and I was just on social media and saw that in Indian country, we all feel like we're related, and they're honoring an educator over on the other side of the state that passed on to Richie Class. And so just kind of thinking about those folks that have walked on very recently and in the past before us, and acknowledging their contributions to our work and to our existence and to our education of our people. And so that's my introduction in my Ojibwe language. Like Chris said, I'm the Director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion and the Senior Diversity Officer at UW-Superior. So I do a whole lot of work around tough things and tough conversations and presentations and workshops and trainings and just dialogue and policy work and all kinds of things, as well as lead a small, I call them my army, my team of people who celebrate and honor and support our students from all walks of life. And so I've been able to do that now for almost 3 years. So it'll be 3 years in February. And I've been in higher education for going on 10 years. So before that, I worked actually in this place that you see in this picture, which is the Apostle Islands, for the National Park Service. And so I was able to take care of our own ancestral homelands as an educator for the National Park Service, for the government, as a National Park Ranger, and did that for quite a while. And then had a calling, a lane shift, if you will, to help support Native students as they went through higher education. So I took that opportunity, and I just keep moving into broader, more general terms of student support and being able to help people and educate people about things like this and many other countless topics and different conversations, I would say, is more that what I lead than talking at people sometimes. So so with that, and I did take this photo, so you'll see that on the bottom. It says Wawate, which means Northern Lights in Ojibwe. This is an unedited photo. It's not what you would see with the naked eye, but the Northern Lights were pretty amazing that night. It was back in 2013, right off the ferry landing in Bayfield, for those of you that have been there. So you're looking over Basswood Island as well as Redcliffe, which is my homeland. Just a spectacular night. And a reminder, we believe that those are our family members and our ancestors dancing above us. So just that they were out there watching and dancing for us and celebrating. So always a moment of awe and honor and celebration when we see those Northern Lights. Join us and let us see them for a little bit. So the talk of today is walking in two worlds. It's a concept that I was introduced to about a decade ago. I'll talk a little bit about what that means, and then traditional Ojibwe teaching. So when Chris reached out to me, he said, you know, we'd love to hear about your spiritual journey and I said, well, it's kind of all over the place. But I can kind of hone in on some things a little bit. Like many of us, probably on this call, I've been kind of in and out of spirituality and, learning and growing and, listening to the world speak through spirituality and faith. And I've just been taking it in, from the people I love and from people I have never met before and hearing what works for them and what they believe in. And, you know, that I think one of the strongest things we can have is faith, in something. And, I think, you know, as I got older and settled down into kind of creating my own path of spirituality, I certainly believe that more and more is having faith in something is certainly what we need in this world. So a little bit. This is the picture on the right is from UW-Superior's campus. It's a land acknowledgement statement, acknowledging the Anishinaabe or the Ojibwe people of this land and honoring them and the caretakers of all ancestral homelands across the world, of all indigenous peoples. So why this topic? I was not necessarily as exposed to my Ojibwe spirituality or teachings as a kid. And so I kind of picked up on a lot when I was in college, studying under a mentor, a couple mentors, and then different community members and community gatherings and teachings and those types of things, and just kind of soaking things up as much as I could, and kind of piecing it together. So I certainly have a lifelong journey ahead of me, and we have this belief that we never ever learn everything, not even close, because we are human. We don't have that ability to know it all and to express everything that we would ever want to, but we try. One thing I do want to note is that teachings and experiences will differ. And so even though I'm talking about being Ojibwe or Anishinaabe, my spirituality and my beliefs and my interpretations of the teachings, you know, just like any other faith, we interpret and put our experiences and backgrounds and beliefs into the things that we learn and then how we convey them to others. And so the same happens with Native and Indigenous spirituality, is that, you know, I learn from one teacher and the person next to me can learn from another teacher, and we could have different interpretations of that based on our experiences and based on our identities. So just know that I'm not speaking on behalf of all Ojibwe people. Please don't take it that way. These are my interpretations of how I have taken things in and kind of processed them and spit them back out with my own experience and my own need for those things. And I talked briefly about the idea of walking in two worlds. And walking in two worlds is an interesting concept that I think a lot of people can relate to, but it's at a varying level. And so I was introduced to the concept of walking in two worlds when we had a conference at my last institution that I worked at in Ashland. And we had people from tribal communities talk about historic trauma and multi-generational trauma from boarding schools and from other things, and how at during those times and even before that of assimilation and colonization, and now when you put it into today's world, you are forced a lot of times to pick between which world you're going to walk in at that time. Are you going to walk as a traditional Ojibwe person, or are you going to walk as somebody who's in an assimilated white world, westernized world? Sometimes you can keep both your feet in those worlds, but it's a hard balancing act. And so that concept of kind of picking and choosing or figuring out how to make those worlds come together and mesh. And so I really kind of dove into the idea of walking in two worlds and how to support my students and my colleagues and my staff when doing this, when we talk about identity and when we talk about differing things that conflict as we walk through every day, and how we pick and choose those things. So this picture in the background here is of our medicine wheel on campus. I'll talk more in the next slide about what that medicine wheel represents, but it's a place of community on our campus. And so you'll see behind there is Old Main. And then we have this medicine wheel, which represents all of us, all humans. And it's a place of community gathering. It's called, we named it Mwanja Itawin, which means the place where we all come together. And so this is a place of ceremony and celebration, community, education, whatever you want it for. It's there for all people to use. And so I use that as a background to talk about these teachings. And these teachings, when I was thinking about Chris's question of like, what guides you, you know, what's your spiritual journey? I used to give a lot of talks, and I still do, to a lot of different people from all around the world of kind of, we called it Ojibwe 101, kind of cultural teachings and those types of things. And I would always end on, some of these notes about, you know, I had somebody from, I think he was from Germany, asked me, you know, how do you know that you are, he kind of worded it like, you're living as a good Ojibwe person. How do you know you've done it? How do you know you're doing well? And it took me a while, right? And I had to think about that, and I had to reflect on it. And I realized that it was right in front of me. We have these teachings called the Seven Grandfather Teachings that we basically learn about throughout our lives. And basically it's the idea of trying to be a good human, right? And trying to be a good person. And the idea is that when you can do, it hit me, when I can do this without trying, when I do this in all of my decisions or my conversations or my actions without thinking about it, then I've done okay. I'm doing okay. And so I'll go over these really quick and just introduce you to these and the concepts. But these are kind of our pillars of learning in life. There's obviously lifetimes of teachings of spirituality, just like for anybody else, of faith and religion and life teachings. But this is kind of at the core of what we try to teach our young ones and then remind ourselves of throughout life. And so the first value is respect. And so respect is something that we believe everything has a spirit. It doesn't matter what it is, those trees in that picture, the leaves, the grass, the rocks, everything has a spirit and therefore deserves respect at the utmost core level. So when I meet, you know, if I see Chris on the street and I don't know him from the next person, my teaching is that I give him respect right away. It doesn't matter, right? And even if there's harm done or there's disrespect, that we have to try our hardest to respect that person at a soul level, because we all share the same kind of inner makings or the same spiritual makings. And so you act out of respect for it, everything. The next one is humility. And this one is a really tough one for a lot of people. And you'll notice that if you meet some traditional native people, that some of them seem very humble, almost shy, or they kind of brush off praise. A big part of that usually is that we are taught to be very humble people. And when we live this value, we live our lives within low regard to ourselves, not in a disrespectful way to ourselves, but, you know, we still have high self-esteem, but you conduct yourselves in the most humble way possible. It's not about the spotlight being on you. It's not about the praise that you're trying to earn from the work you're doing. It's not about you, right? It's about the world around you, your relations, how you are as a community member, whatever that means in that time, and how you are as an ancestor to the generations coming up behind you. And so it's always about kind of a bigger picture. And so you're very humble. And that's something you'll notice. You know, I do a lot of things that put me in the spotlight a lot, and I just kind of smile and I'm thankful for it, and I kind of move on. So, and then love. So if we act out of love for each other and ourselves and everything we do, we're living the value of love. And so this goes back to the same concept, almost like respect, but a little deeper, that you try and act out of love. So you have that idea of your heart at the core and loving each other and everything with a spirit from that core value. This one I really like. This one is always interesting because when you talk to people who are involved in religious communities and spiritual communities, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, what are you seeking? You're seeking truth, and we're seeking the idea of truth, or maybe we're seeking some truth and enlightenment or whatever it may be, right? We're seeking something. And we are too, but the idea is that the literal translation of truth is the word, the translation is the sound of your heart. So really what that means is that we all hold the truth in our heart. And when we live that value, we express that truth in everything we do. And so if you think about that, if you step back and think about that, this one's my favorite one to talk about. We are seeking the truth that's always within us. So we have to allow ourselves the courage and the openness and the love and the respect and the humility and all these other things I'll be talking about to acknowledge and recognize that truth. But we always have it with us. We were born with it. When we had that sound of our mother's heartbeat put into our heartbeat, that truth was put in with it. And so we don't have to seek it out. It's right there, and we have to allow ourselves to live it. Honesty is the next one. So the literal translation of the word honesty is to be correct or straight in everything we do. And if an individual lives that value of honesty, they must do what is right for the group. So again, that idea of community or others or family, whatever it may be, and hold themselves and others to high standards of integrity. And so the idea of honesty is really thinking about what's truly right, and what's truly right for yourselves, as well as others, to hold all of us accountable for high standards. The next one is wisdom. And this is a little different from truth, right? And so the idea of the literal translation of this word means abundance of wisdom. And so there's an idea out there that there's an abundance of wisdom in our world, in our universe, in our being. And when we live that out, we seek to always learn. But we learn in a respectful way, in which we're not just taking. As humans, sometimes we just take, and that's where the buck stops. And we have this teaching that you have to take time to reflect upon those teachings and those things that you've been gifted, because everything is a gift in our world. Everything you've been gifted, you take time to reflect upon that and use it for the better. And so this idea of wisdom is acknowledging that there's an abundance out there, but you have to be very intentional about what you do with it. And then last is courage. So this one is, to me, really, really important as well. And the translation of it is a strong heart. And again, it goes back to what we were born with, what we were given, and that our courage lives within us. And that when you have a strong heart, which we all do, we are able to face challenges with courage and integrity. So a person, the other layer of this is that when you live with this courage, you acknowledge your weakness and you face it with a strong heart. And so, you know, it's about that humility. It's about that recognition of who we are as humans, that we are not perfect, as much as some folks in our society may think they are. They are not. The only way to achieve that level is if you're from the spiritual world, right? If you're from a certain level of beings. And that because of us being human, we have weaknesses, and that's okay. It's about acknowledging those and facing them and always trying to do better. And so when you put these all side by side, you look at these pillars of humanity, of being a good human, being a good person. And now take a moment, and this is what I challenge people to when I talk about this, is every interaction you have, every learning you have, every teaching you have, every argument, disagreement, conversation, every moment you walk through life, if you do it with this intention, at the core of who you are and what you're doing. And then you turn that around and think about if everybody in your family did that, if anybody in your community did that, if everybody in our country did that, and then if everybody in the world did that, imagine how different this place would be. And the idea is that everybody has this in them, but you have to open up and you have to live it. And you have to be intentional, right? Because when you think about practice, you think about, for those of you that meditate, or those of you that are athletes, or those of you that are really good at a hobby or an art, right? If you're really lucky, it came naturally to you, but you still work to improve it. But that practice, right? And the idea of practice is that you practice it so much that you just do it. And that's what these teachings are. And so, you know, I've recently started talking about this, like, if, you know, especially as a college administrator or a politician or a community leader, a faith leader, right? You would hope that Chris is doing this in all of his intentions, right? You would hope that your faith leader is doing that. You would hope that your community leaders, speaking of election, right? We would hope that our community leaders are acting out of these values. But what about your neighbor? What about the stranger walking down the street? And how when they turn around, they do all of these things. That ripple effect grows quickly. And so when I'm having a tough day, when I'm really feeling negative, when I'm not feeling this, you know, even at the end of the day, I can still turn around and say, well, you know, maybe this person did that because of this, or maybe that person acted because of this reason. Or I always find myself going back to try to find some love or some truth, or facing my weakness of reaction or being hurt or taking things personally with a strong heart, right? And being honest with myself about that and who we are as humans. So holding these core values is something that I've stepped into to be able to cope with things and to be resilient and to bounce back and to continue having faith in something bigger than me, whatever that means at that moment. or that all things happen for a reason, and that I trust that people are still somewhere deep down inside holding these values as humans, right? If somebody said, I was talking about this with my dad, who's Christian, and I said, Dad, what does it mean to be a good Christian? And we were talking, and I said, okay, dive deeper, and it was these things, right? Really, I mean, this is a good human, and so that's what I hold close. So what does that mean then for taking care of myself, right? And this is something that I recently started putting into words and showcasing, I guess, a little bit and talking about to use education. So I showed you that picture of the medicine wheel. So I kind of flattened it out and threw it into an image. We have countless teachings that fall onto this medicine wheel. The first one is, and I'm not going to go into all of them. I'm going to focus on these, but just to lay it out a little bit. You'll see that there's directions on there. So it is a compass point. So the red represents the east, then we go south, west, and north. You notice I didn't go north, south, east, and west like we typically do in the Western world. The reason for that is because everything is a cycle. It's a never-ending cycle, and it starts in the east because that's where the sun rises. That's where our day begins. And so we as Native people acknowledge that. And the cycle comes and goes, and it's never-ending. The day always ends, the day always begins, and then we have our seasons on there. They all each fall on one of those sections, right? Again, a never-ending cycle. What's really neat about this is it represents the four races of humankind. And I know that there's a little bit of kind of, there could be some disagreement about that, but our teaching is that we were all put on this earth at the same time, and we're represented on this medicine wheel. So the red-skinned folks that would be our indigenous brothers and sisters that were made from the earth, their color, the color of their skin kind of represents the earth. And then we have yellow skin, which would be from eastern reaches of the lands. So Asian, typically descent kind of thing. And again, this is very simplified. There's a lot more teachings behind this. Our dark skin, black, indigenous relatives from Africa, and then our white skin relatives, right? And so the idea about this, now if you look at this picture, is that we all have to hold each other up in harmony and balance. And if we don't do that, we're in trouble. And if one of us falls out of harmony and balance, our teaching says that all of us are out of harmony and balance, and we can't exist in content if any of us fall out of balance or harmony, and that we need each other to be balanced and harmonious. And so then we take this a little further. And we have the directions, like I said, we have north, south, east, and west, or east, south, west, and north, as we say it. But we also have a fifth and a sixth direction, which is the green that you see in the middle, which is earth. And then we have sky and water in the middle. And the idea is that there's a seventh direction, which is self. And so we're all at the center of this. And again, not in a selfish way, but we have to recognize that when we look at this teaching, and the one in particular that's on there, which is about the four emotions or the four states of being, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, we have to put ourselves at the center first. And again, in a humble recognition of respect of who we are, but we have to put ourselves in the center. Because if any of these fall out of balance, we're out of balance. And so we use this as a way to look at our holistic self. So if you think about your spiritual journey, whatever that means for you, and it could be a variety of things for many people, if that's out of balance, right, if it's not feeling quite right, you know, and if it's not lining up, or it's not clear, or you don't have any faith to lean on in that moment, or you're questioning, your emotional health is off, your mental health then could potentially become off, and then eventually all of those things affect our physical health. If you think about your mental health and well-being, which is a big topic that has a lot of stigma behind it, if that's off, your emotional health is off, you potentially lose your way on your spiritual journey, and of course it affects your physical. So you can see that we can come in and out of the cycle at any time. And our teaching is that we are human, right? Chris talked about that. It's okay. We acknowledge that those things happen. We're human. And so those things do get off balance, and they do become broken. So we have this idea of a hoop on the outside. You can see the black hoop that holds everything together. Sometimes that hoop becomes broken, so I could fall off my journey or my path spiritually, and I have a break in my hoop, right? And sometimes we continue to go through our cycle, and we look over and we acknowledge that broken part, and we're not ready to deal with it. Or maybe I'm not, you know, I don't have the help I need, or whatever it may be. And then eventually we find a way to repair it. We find a way to fix it. And it's part of our journey. So every time I look at that place, I see that it's been mended. Maybe I reached out to somebody like Chris, and he helped me see a clearer path, or he gave me some teachings or some words or some prayers or whatever it may be. Maybe I went to a ceremony in our medicine lodge, right? And I did that and I fixed it, but it's never going to be the same, right? Once it's broken, there's a little bit of a mended path there. That's okay. Maybe it's stronger than it ever was before. Maybe it breaks in the same place. We think about mental health or physical health. I have chronic Lyme disease, and so it's certainly something that I've been battling for the last 5 years, right? So there are a lot of breaks in my physical hoop, but I keep mending them and trying to get stronger. And sometimes it's just barely holding together. And I have other people helping me hold those pieces together for a while. That's okay. It's all part of what creates us as a whole person, right? It's about the holistic piece. It's the idea of acknowledging the flaws or acknowledging the breaks or the bumps in the road or where our paths went a little differently and somebody helped us or we helped ourselves, and acknowledging that created a more stronger whole picture. And that's what that medicine wheel represents for us. There are so many other things in life. The last thing I'll talk about too on this medicine wheel is that it represents if we're blessed enough to live a full life as a human on this earth, that it represents all four hills of life. So we have infancy, which is really a small hill. It's very easy. We get up over that hill, and we have adolescence, which is, as those of you with teenagers or remember teenage years, that's a pretty tough hill. But then we can look back and see our infancy, and we can see adulthood ahead of us. Adulthood is the longest hill with a lot of trying times and edges and things that we really come up against. And then when we get to the adulthood hill and the top of it, we can see all the way in front of us to where the next place may be past our elderhood, and we can look back. When we reach elder status, again, it's an easier hill, but it's tough because we know that once we go down that hill, we'll be reunited with our loved ones, and we are taught to try to not look back and to not grieve anymore, and to say, well, we should have, could have, would have, right? We shouldn't do that. We should be looking forward to what's next and to helping our ancestors coming up behind us. That's all on this medicine wheel. And so recognizing that all these things continue in a cycle and it's never ending. We're here as a manifestation right now to take care of ourselves the best way we can, to take care of our community and our family the best way we can, and all of our relations, regardless of our identities and backgrounds, spiritual beliefs, it doesn't matter. When Chris asked me to come talk, I said, absolutely. Did I think about it being a church? No, because my assumption was that they were living out some of these values too by inviting me in. They weren't judging me on my spiritual journey, but they were embracing me as a relative. And that's all on here. We're all on here together. And so, typically those types of things take a lifetime of learning. I did it in 28 minutes, but so this picture here I want to share with you as a parting thought. I'm a hobby photographer. I used to be more of a hobby photographer before I got into school and heavier careers, but this picture was taken in South Dakota at a sacred indigenous location, prayer location, and it's a prayer tree. And all people from all walks of life have walked up to that tree and tied on prayers and wished good things for people or asked for help or guidance or whatever it was. And so I share that as a parting thought, right? That we can all come together and have this journey, and we can all find things that work for us, even if it's temporarily. It could be a verse from the Bible, right? That you grab onto and you dive into it and you use it to lead. It could be a song, could be a prayer, could be a ceremony. Whatever it may be, right? A practice could be going down to the lake and just being for a while, for meditating. Just acknowledge the beauty in that for a little bit and sit with it and use it to give you strength. And it could be what I offered today, you know, something to think about or some values. could be, hey, I maybe want to have a conversation about that. Can we do that, right? So we say we don't have any words for goodbye in our language either, because we always believe that we're going to see each other again, even if it's in the next place, whatever that may be for you. And so we say, we will see you again, which is Gibwa Min Minwa. And so I leave you with that. And I say, Miigwech Bizindawayeg, which means thank you all for listening.
Kat, that was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Like, I don't know, like on the Magicals website called Facebook, people have been putting down your quotes. Caleb Dunlap, he was giving some encouragement. Well, it was so refreshing, and I love the idea of Sarah just said, would you say we don't have goodbye? There's no language.
Yeah, that's the most beautiful. That's the most pure thing.
The most purest thing ever. So, yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. If people have any questions, they want to get in contact with Kat, you can feel free to find her. She's on Facebook, that magical place, or you can contact Neighborhood, and we'll give her out her email as well. So let's give her a round of applause. Give it up. Give her a Kat. There's three of us in here, but everyone online is smashing that like button as well. So Kat, thank you. We are going to end with one more song. And to everyone else at Neighborhood, thank you for hopping on, and let's close with the song.
We will sing out all together to God who makes us one. Cantare. Todos juntos a Dios que nos unió. We will sing out all together to God who makes us one. Cantaremos todos juntos a Dios que nos unió, to God who makes us one, to God who makes us one.
Okay, thank you, friends. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.